Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Houston Rockets basketball returns with a commanding win, 125-104 over the Chicago Bulls, the first of two preseason games on the road against Chicago. And look, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but the Rockets should just go ahead and start sizing up the championship rings right now. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, an overtime episode of Locked On Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at Clutch City CR. Now, again, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here. It is a preseason game above all else, and the way preseason works, right, is you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But seriously, these Rockets looked good. And guess what? James Harden didn't play. Christian Wood didn't play. PJ Tucker didn't play. Sterling Brown didn't play. For all intents and purposes, Stephen Silas used an 11-man rotation before garbage time happened, which was impressive as all hell. Only one guy played more than 20 minutes, and that was Bruno Caboclo, the next highest, Eric Gordon, at just 20 minutes played. Again, beating the Bulls 125-104. So many great stories. Storylines from this one, a really strong debut for new head coach Stephen Silas, strong debut for John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Gordon looked great, Caboclo looked great, Gerald Green's return to a Rockets jersey, so many amazing things happened in this game. And so we're just going to kind of walk through, we're going to walk through one player at a time, basically, until I run out, and then I'll do overarching thoughts after that. So let's just go ahead and start, who do I want to start with? We'll go John Wall. That's probably the guy at the top of the list. And this is about as good of a debut from Wall as you could have hoped for. 13 points, 9 assists, 5 boards, 2 steals in just 19 minutes of run. Shot 6 of 10 from the floor, only 1 of 3 from behind the 3-point line. Didn't get to the free throw line at all. Only committed 2 turnovers, was a plus 27 in his 19 minutes played. First impressions of John Wall, like literally his first play of the game, slicing and dicing, using that quickness, getting right to the rim. You know, he looks healthy. And I think that's the biggest thing. That was the key takeaway from this game, was going to be, how does John Wall look? Because obviously, for a guy who hasn't played, you know, competitive NBA level basketball for 2 years now, because again, playing pickups, you know, during the hiatus, it's not the same as true blue NBA basketball. And this is still a preseason game, but the Bulls were legitimately out there trying. And they're not a joke. This isn't them playing against the Shanghai Sharks or something. This is a legitimate preseason basketball game. So, you know, looking at John Wall, the main takeaway needed to be health, but he looks good out there. There's obviously going to be some rust, and those are things that he's going to have to work through. You could tell whenever he did make a mistake, whether it was, you know, a little bit too much juice behind a pass, or a pass was a little inaccurate, or there were a couple times maybe he got to the rim and just couldn't quite finish after getting all the way to the cup. And you could tell he had these reactions, you know, whether it's, banging his fist on the stanchion, or just kind of, patting his chest saying, "That's on me, bad pass, whatever." You could tell that he was, you know, taking it to heart, kind of, realizing, okay, this, you know, do this a little bit better this time, do this a little bit differently this time. But he looked good, and he looked in control. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from John Wall specifically, is that he might not be as explosive, or maybe not even as quick as Russ, but he looks so much more in control with how he plays the game. When Wall turns the Jets on, he knows exactly what he's trying to do with it. He knows exactly, he's attacking his defender, he's sizing him up, whether he's baiting like he's looking for the high pick and roll, and then he changes that change of direction, that crossover back to his offhand to attack the rim. Just so many moments in this game where you could tell that he just has, again, a better command of the ball than Russell Westbrook does. And again, Russ is a phenomenal talented player. But there were times when you looked at Russ and you were just wondering what was happening, where he was just a little bit out of control. I use the phrase all the time. Russ runs at 110 all the time. If he could just dial it back to like 95, then maybe he'd be a little bit more in control of what he was doing. Somebody else commented on social media saying that Russ is the king of jumping, getting in the air, and not knowing what he's going to do with the ball. And I think that's very true. John Wall, for the most part, it seemed like he had an idea of what he was trying to accomplish with every drive, with every cross. There was a purpose to the moves that he was making on the court. And again, he looked like that prototypical facilitating point guard. He was orchestrating the offense. He was putting people in the spots that they needed to be in, running a lot of high pick and roll. And the really beautiful thing is we didn't get to see high pick and roll with the rim running threat of Christian Wood. We pretty much saw exclusively pick and pop game between John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, or John Wall and Bruno. For the majority of this game, we didn't really see a whole lot of rim running from any of the Rockets bigs. They basically played five out for the entire game, but things looked good, you know, and this was, again, about as good of a debut as we could have hoped for from John Wall, because he looks healthy, looks very much in control of his game, going to have to knock a little bit of the rust off here and there. There were a couple long twos that he attempted, a couple of them went in, a couple did not, and so eliminating those long twos is going to be something that Wall is hopefully going to work out of his game. And I'm not talking like wide open long twos, I'm talking like pull up off the dribble with a hand in his face long twos. That's something that I'd like to see eliminated from his game, but overall, really impressed with him. Now let's get to Boogie Cousins here next. Again, the three big questions, or the three big health-related questions going into this game were, how was John Wall going to look, how was DeMarcus Cousins going to look, and how was David Nwaba going to look? And again, really impressed with Wall, really impressed with Cousins, and really impressed with Nwaba. They all looked healthy, and that's the biggest, most important thing. But as far as how Cousins looked, just performance-wise, he has really worked on that three-point shot. Cousins put up 14 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, snagged 2 steals, blocked 2 shots, did commit 4 fouls, none of which I think that he believes he committed. Watching DeMarcus Cousins react to being whistled for foul calls is going to be such a treat this season, because I don't think he's ever been whistled for a foul in his entire career. At least he doesn't think so. But overall, 5 of 7 from the floor, got to the charity stripe a couple times, just 1 of 2 there. But he made his presence felt. And it's important to realize that this production that the Rockets got out of Cousins, he's not going to be their starting center. At one point during the Bulls broadcast, one of the Bulls broadcasters said, you know, how's DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood going to fit? Because I see DeMarcus as their starting five. And I'm just like, look, he might be their starting five situationally against certain matchups or certain teams, or you might see him come off the bench earlier rather than later. I'm a firm believer that Steven Silas is going to be fluid in that regard and utilize the best matchups possible when necessary. But he is not going to be the starting center. It's going to be Christian Wood. And so it's important to realize that the Rockets have this level of productivity out of their backup center. And the reason it's going to be DeMarcus off the bench, right, is because if you start DeMarcus and slide Wood to the four, then you get into issues of staggering those two and having legitimate size out there for the entire 48 minutes of the game. Whereas if you start Wood and bring Cousins off the bench, it gets a lot easier to pretty much always have at least one of those two guys out on the court at all times. Now, is it out of the question that they might line up next to each other at some points throughout the game? Absolutely not. They definitely can play together. That's the wonderful thing about this roster, this team, is it's so versatile. They've got so many more options as far as lineups, all this stuff about how they can stagger their guys, what lineups they can throw out there. They can play extra big with Christian Wood at the four, DeMarcus at the five. They can go small and pull Wood and Cousins off the floor if they want to. Wood is also a versatile enough big that he can hold his own switching out onto guards on the perimeter. So they have a lot of different looks, a lot of different options. But Cousins looked great in this game, really worked on that three ball. And, you know, there's going to be, again, a very steady diet of high pick and roll utilizing DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood as screeners and then having them pop out to the three-point line, or in Christian Wood's case, having him dive towards the rim or roll all the way to the rim, especially in tandem with James Harden. Once we see what that dynamic looks like between Christian Wood and James Harden, having that rim-running threat again to be able to dive hard towards the rim and really suck in the defense to generate those wide-open shots. Again, the Rockets were on fire from behind the arc in this game. They shot 24 of 52 as a team for 46.2% from behind the arc. That is unreal. That is ridiculous right there. And they generated so many quality three-point shots. There were very few that were either rushed or highly contested. A lot of them were wide open. And you can maybe point to the Chicago Bulls as being a not-so-great NBA team, which is why that happened. But you can also point to the fact that when you look at a team that is able to play five-out basketball like the Rockets are, they generate a lot more wide-open threes because of how much space they're utilizing, but it's also that dynamic of they once again have those screens that they can set and then having that be able to draw in the defense a little bit, because you set the screen for a guy like Eric Gordon or a guy like John Wall, and then they penetrate into the defense, it forces those perimeter defenders to think, okay, am I coming in? Am I going to be the weak side defender or the help side defender to try and stop that drive? Or do I stick with my man at the three-point line? And Wall and Gordon both did an excellent job of reading and reacting and facilitating based on what the defense did. So coming up, we'll keep talking about the players that really stood out. Probably do Eric Gordon next, and we'll get there in just one moment. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Don't want to forget the Rockets do play again Sunday, 7 p.m. Central Time, again against the Chicago Bulls. The second of those two preseason games against the Bulls, and then they come back to Houston for two games against the Spurs next week. So let's talk about Eric Gordon. Eric had a phenomenal game, led all the starters, not the team high as far as points go with 16, but he did have 16 points to lead all Rockets starters, shot 7 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 from behind the three-point line, made it to the free throw line once, missed it, had 3 assists, just a board, didn't do much else, no steals, no blocks, only one turnover. The Rockets as a team, 5 turnovers as a team compared to 26 assists. The ball movement was absolutely off the charts. Obviously, John Wall accounts for a big chunk of that with 9 assists as the primary ball handler / facilitator. But seeing how crisp some of the passing was and how much they were really whipping the ball around the three-point line, you know, you take a Mike D'Antoni-led team that already prioritized playing fast and shooting a lot of threes, and you dial it up to 11 with Steven Silas, and you see, holy crap, they can play even faster and they can shoot even more threes. And just, again, watching other guys, you know, touch the ball, move the ball around, attacking off the dribble, that's something that we're going to get into with David Nwaba here in just a second. But Eric Gordon, he looked spry, looked healthy. I thought he looked a lot better going into the bubble this past season compared to where he was at physically from a health standpoint in the earlier part of the season before the hiatus. But even now in this preseason game, he looks even better than that. Looks like he slimmed down a little bit, got his body to a point where it looks where it needs to be for him to be able to have that combination of physicality to be able to bump off defenders and really take the contact driving to the rim, but to still maintain that level of explosion to actually beat guys off the dribble. Again, he only hit 2 threes, so he hit 5 of 6 from inside the three-point line, majority of those shots coming right at the rim. And so just being able to see him finish and finish successfully around the rim, it's such an important part. Look, I was a big proponent of not trading Eric Gordon. After spending a chunk of the offseason trying to figure out what the Rockets should do with him, I came on this very podcast and was like, look, I don't think they should trade him. I think that, you know, you're not going to get equal value back for Eric Gordon and for what he can provide you as the third option on a team behind, say, James Harden and John Wall, or you know, now that this team has guys like Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins who can also step up on a nightly basis. Eric Gordon's a great guy to have in that mix as somebody who on any given night can step up and be that 20-plus points per game scorer and really catch fire and help propel you to a win. So he looked good. Biggest concern with him is, you know, can he get his three-point shot back to where it needs to be? Because that was obviously his biggest issue in the NBA bubble was he could not hit water if he fell out of a boat. His driving game was there. He looked, bouncier. But in this game, again, his health looked even better. It's just a concern moving forward. Does that three-point shot abandon him again? Or has he put in enough work this offseason to get it back to a consistent place? Again, his goal being he wants to be a 40% three-point shooter this year. We'll see if that actually happens. Let's go Daniel House next, actually. So D House, kind of a quiet game for him. Just 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 2 of 5 from the floor. Hit 2 threes were his only 2 shots that he made. Made it to the free throw line 4 times. Only hit 1 of them. So some free throw struggles for D House. Just, again, a quiet overall night for him. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to have those games where, depending on how things open up, he'll get a lot of wide open looks. Again, 4 three-point attempts in this one. They kind of spread the love pretty thoroughly throughout all these guys. But he also only played 17 minutes. Again, nobody playing more than 20 minutes except for Bruno Caboclo off the bench. So you'd imagine that if D House had played his normal minutes allotment, say around the 30 mark, then you could imagine that he conceivably would have had about 5, 6, maybe 7 three-point attempts instead of just the 4 that he got. So I think that's kind of tracking with what you would expect out of D House on a regular nightly basis. Nothing really stood out to me from him, just a little bit more or less of the same from last season. Some good defense, again, got some wide open threes, hit half of them. That's about what you want out of D House. Jayshon Tate, because he was the guy who rounded out the starting lineup. Again, the Rockets starters in this one being John Wall, Eric Gordon, DeMarcus Cousins, Jayshon Tate, and Daniel House Jr. in the absence of 3 starters in James Harden, Christian Wood, and PJ Tucker, or supposedly 3 starters. We'll see what's going to happen once those guys are back in the mix. But Tate, you know, pretty quiet night offensively, just 4 points, only 2 of 6 shooting, missed both threes that he attempted. He did snag 4 rebounds, created 2 steals, really active hands from Jayshon Tate defensively. And I think that's where he stood out to me defensively, was just holding his own, both as a perimeter defender, at times, you know, getting switched on to some bigger guys. He's got a really strong, sturdy body. Boxing out on rebounds looked good, but, you know, offense is going to be the question for him. Can he make his game fit at the speed of the NBA? Because the NBA is a lot faster paced than the NBL. The guys in the NBA make the NBL look slow as hell. So, you know, can Jayshon Tate actually be an offensive asset in this league? To me, because of what he provides you defensively, which, again, I'm impressed with his defense in this one, but if he can just give you at least 35% shooting from behind the arc, you've essentially got a mini PJ Tucker. And that's what I'm going to be keeping an eye on closely with Jayshon Tate, is, you know, him being able to attack off the dribble. It would be like a cherry on top of everything, because he's going to be a plus defender. If he can give you, again, at least 35% three-point shooting, plus the ability to put the ball on the floor a little bit, at least more so than PJ Tucker does on a regular basis, then he's going to be a complete steal of a guy for the Rockets to have picked up for almost nothing, and to have him locked down for the next 3 seasons. So seeing how he progresses is going to be great. Again, the offense is the biggest question for him. Now let's go to another wing guy that I'm excited about, David Nwaba. A guy that received a lot of hype surrounding him when the Rockets picked him up back at the beginning of the hiatus, waving Isaiah Hartenstein to do so. Really, like, offensively, not a standout night for Nwaba. Didn't attempt a single 3. Was just 1 of 5 shooting. And those numbers sound kind of bad off the bat, and they do look kind of bad, but I have some silver lining thoughts here on that. The rest of his stat line, 4 rebounds, had 3 steals, a block. The block that he had was unreal. You know, came as the help defender and jumped in and I can't remember who he managed to swat, but he just jumped in from the weak side and timed his jump so perfectly that as the Bulls player got whoever was guarding in the paint for the Rockets, I think it might have been Bruno, got him up in the air or faked him out, that, you know, he was able to come in and block the shot. But Nwaba, again, phenomenal defensively and has such a motor. And, I mean, his motor could rival that of Damari Carroll. It really could. But he didn't seem quite as out of control as Damari did, you know, here and there. Shout out Roosh Williams for Damari Carroll being the president of the Damari Carroll Hive. But, you know, having that energy off the bench is definitely something that the Rockets were sorely missing last season. You know, just having... Again, one of the oldest teams in the league kind of does that to you a little bit, is finding that juice throughout a game to really propel you through things. But Nwaba brings that in droves. He's a guy who can come in, wreak a little bit of havoc defensively. And even though he was only 1 of 5 shooting in this game, he seems comfortable offensively. I would have liked to see him take some threes. I feel like he might have been a little bit too aggressive about driving to the rim as opposed to putting up a couple threes here or there. Maybe he had some opportunities to do so and just hesitated or, you know, again, opted for the drive instead. But it's important that he's comfortable being able to drive, because, again, one of the issues that this Rockets team has had for a few years under Mike D'Antoni is you have a lot of guys who are very one-dimensional offensively, and more often than not, those guys for the Rockets have tended to be 3-and-D guys who are comfortable sitting on the three-point line, hitting wide-open threes, but then you ask them to do anything else offensively, and it looks very, very messy. Shout-out Robert Covington. He is an elite help defender, great team defender, and great three-point shooter, but anytime Covington put the ball on the floor, especially in the playoffs, it just looked really, really bad. David Nwaba, on the other hand, looks comfortable driving. He looked comfortable leading the break in transition as the primary ball handler at times. And even though, again, he didn't convert at a high rate on those 5 shot attempts, he still looked comfortable doing it. And I'm just going to chalk that up to, you know, first game preseason jitters, whatever it may be. But seeing him out there actually feeling comfortable taking the ball off the dribble, it's great. I just want to see a little bit more shooting out of him moving forward. It is worth noting that the Rockets did have 3 guys between Ben McLemore, Bruno Caboclo, and the mayor of Houston himself, Gerald Green, combined for 43 points off the bench. The Rockets had, you know, an insane amount of bench scoring in this one. Ben McLemore with 10 points on 3 of 7 shooting. Bruno with 17 points, a team-high 17 points in another team-high 26 minutes on 5 of 11 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown. So all 5 of his makes on the floor coming from behind the 3-point arc. And then Gerald Green, 5 of 10 shooting for 16 points, 3 of 6 downtown. So, you know, a much welcome sight. Because, look, the Rockets were not a good bench team last season. They trailed the league, dead last in the league, in bench scoring. And I think it was 28.1 points per game, something like that. 28-ish points per game. And they were dead last in the league as far as bench production goes. And part of that you can attribute to the fact that they had, you know, injuries last season. They had, you know, shaky lineups throughout some of the season, because you had a lot of games where if Russ was sitting out on the second night of a back-to-back, then you inject a usual bench player into the starting lineup, so that kind of messes with some of the bench scoring numbers. So I think that number isn't quite true to what it was. But even if the Rockets had been perfectly healthy last season, you know, bringing Eric Gordon off the bench for all, you know, 60 some odd games, you know, I still think that they would have found that they struggled a little bit in that regard. So seeing them light somebody up with, again, 43 points just from those 3 guys, not including the rest of the guys off the bench who also dropped in some points here and there, really, really impressive. Now, we'll wrap things up here in this final segment, segment 3, in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. An overtime episode because, hey, it's the first time we've gotten to see the new-look Rockets hit the court. It's just a preseason game. Obviously, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You take everything with a grain of salt. But watching this group of guys play, it was really exciting. And some of the offense that we saw in this game, you know, it's just... it's not entirely different to what they did with Mike D'Antoni. A lot of the same principles are still there. They're still prioritizing threes. They're still prioritizing getting to the basket. But you bring back, again, optionality, versatility when you have bigs that can play the way that they do in this game. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins and Bruno Caboclo. Which, hang on, before I get into the overarching themes, I do have one more guy that I want to talk about. I don't have to spend too much time on McLemore and Gerald Green. It was great seeing those guys play again. They're both, again, those microwave type guys who can step in off the bench and completely light it up. That's exactly what they both did in this game. Again, McLemore with 10 points on 3 of 7 and Gerald Green with 16 points on 5 of 10. At one point, he had 11 of 13 straight points by the Rockets, which is just ridiculous. He had 11 points in something like 2 minutes, which is exactly what you get with Gerald Green. You know, he can check into a game. And if he bricks his first couple shots, then you pull him back out because he might not be the best defensively. In fact, you can probably make the case that he is a net negative defensively. But he can also win you some games or get you back into some games because he's just lightning in a bottle that you can put into a game and he will not hesitate to start shooting the ball as soon as he's in the game. Again, 10 shots and he had about 11 points in like a 2 or 3 minute stretch, which is just absolutely unreal. But, you know, the guy who deserves a little bit of credit tonight is, again, Bruno Caboclo, who I guess we're finally 0 seasons away from being 0 seasons away with Bruno because he looked good, like, surprisingly. Look, I know that Bruno's kind of a meme at this point, but legitimately, his entire stat line, 17 points, 7 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, had 3 blocks, 5 of 11 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown. Maybe this is an anomaly game. Maybe we don't buy into this, but I'm ready to buy some serious Bruno stock because he actually looked really good out there. And if he's going to be, if that's what you get out of your third string backup center on the nights where, you know, if Boogie Cousins is sitting out back-to-backs, then you've got Christian Wood at the 5 and you've got Bruno as your backup 5, hey, I'm all for it. You know, is he going to put these kind of numbers up every single night? Probably, you know, absolutely not. I'll venture that far and say this is more so an anomaly than anything. But he has shown some promise, and especially defensively, really liked what I saw out of him. We do know that Steven Silas, you know, has been preaching defense throughout training camp a lot so far, going so far as to say that about 80% of what they've been working on is defense. And he was even speaking after the game saying that he thinks that communication-wise they could have done better and that he thinks that they could have done a lot better defensively than they did in this game specifically. So it's great to see a coach who, obviously, Silas knows what he's talking about offensively. That's where all his pedigree is. That's where he's found success in this league. But knowing that he's got to focus on the defensive side of the basketball, knowing that that's the area that this team is going to have to thrive in to become a legitimate contender, that's impressive. You know, again, he's wise beyond his years, and I could not be more ecstatic about the direction that this Rockets franchise is headed now that Steven Silas is the guy in charge of everything from a coaching standpoint. But Bruno held his own defensively, looked really good out there, looked comfortable stepping into so many of those threes. You know, a lot of confidence was coming out of Bruno. So hopefully that continues. Hopefully it's not an anomaly, but that's definitely a welcome sight in a Rockets preseason game where I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of Bruno. I figured he'd be a garbage time player at best. So welcome surprise there. Now, just looking at the overall theme from this game. Again, they really pushed the pace. The ball movement was impressive. And seeing things just be as open as they were for so many guys out there because of having the threats of DeMarcus Cousins, Bruno Caboclo, running those guys off screens, watching guys curl around screens, specific plays that were drawn up. There were plays where we would see Eric Gordon and Ben McLemore kind of both dancing around a screen from DeMarcus Cousins, and then one would fake like they were going around, and then they'd dip back down, set the screen for the other, and then Ben McLemore would run back up and get a wide open three. Just a lot of off-ball motion taking place while, you know, John Wall had the ball in his hands or somebody else. Chris Clemens at times was running the point for this team. Jaren Grant did a decent job in his 13 minutes. Jaren Grant, the announcers were mispronouncing his name. Jaren Grant, my apologies there. I'm not going to spend too much time on the super duper end of the bench guys because there wasn't really any one of those guys that, you know, super duper stood out to me. Again, Grant did a decent job in his 13 minutes kind of orchestrating things, running the point, did have six points, three assists in his 13 minutes. But that's definitely a position where the Rockets don't have a legitimate backup point guard. But that's probably not going to be an issue when they have James Harden back in the lineup, because you're essentially going to have one of James Harden or John Wall handling the ball throughout the entire 48 minutes of the game. Which, for a guy like James Harden, who is absolutely capable of shouldering the workload offensively for at least, you know, 32 to 36 minutes a night, you imagine John Wall is going to be more than capable of shouldering the offense for the other, say, 14 to 16 minutes that James Harden doesn't have the ball in his hands. And obviously, it's going to be interesting to see how those two work together on the court. And look, I know we've got our doubts about what's going on with James Harden. There's you know, people that are very much in the camp of just get him the hell out of here. We don't need his drama anymore. There's other people like myself who understand that, look, from a chemistry standpoint, it's frustrating, and everything that we've dealt with in regards to James Harden has been really abysmal to start this NBA preseason run. But conceivably, the Rockets aren't going to be a championship contender if you move on from James Harden. Moving on from James Harden signals the start of a new era of Rockets basketball where, yeah, they can still be a really fun, exciting team, and they might be able to go into the playoffs and have an upset here or there, but they're not going to be legitimate championship contenders if you move on from James Harden this season. So I'm still firmly in the camp of you bring him in, you get him playing with this group of guys, this very talented group of guys who, again, on paper, they looked good, and guess what? In their first game, they looked even better than they could have on paper. So you get James Harden in the door, you sit him down, you figure out what's going on inside his head, you say, look at what we're putting together. Look at these guys. This team is more versatile and more talented than what you've had the last 2 years. Is this team on par with the 17-18 team that won 65 games? I'm not going to go that far. You know, that team was a historically great team because you had Chris Paul, who still looked like, you know, not quite prime Chris Paul, but you had Chris Paul who looked phenomenal. You had James Harden and his MVP caliber year. You had a bunch of very, very prominent defensive players, three-point specialists. You know, you just had the perfect makeup on that team. But could this team potentially make some noise? Could this team be an even more diverse version of that team? Like, legitimately, because this team has, you know, a more diverse cast than that team did, especially when you look at the bigs. You know, those two bigs in DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood, who we haven't even gotten to see play a game yet, are going to unlock so much potential for this roster because of how dynamic they are offensively. And I know that we've been preaching this, we've been saying the word dynamic offensively quite a bit here, but it holds true. Watching what DeMarcus Cousins was able to do out there on the court, seeing how open things are by having a legitimate big to anchor you defensively so that you're not susceptible to getting destroyed in the rebounding department. Hey, guess what? The Rockets actually beat the Bulls on the boards 47-42. When's the last time the Rockets have ever, I apologize, never mind, that's defensive rebounding. Man, I was so close. I was so close to hammering home a point. But you know what? The point still stands. Bulls 56 rebounds, Rockets 47 rebounds. And I'll tell you what, they got beat on the board, sure, by 9. But you know what? They didn't get decimated by 20, okay? And the Bulls only had 14 offensive rebounds to the Rockets' 10 offensive rebounds. So it's not like in the playoffs where the Rockets were getting absolutely manhandled on the glass, giving up extra point opportunities left and right because they had PJ Tucker as their starting five. So that's not an issue moving forward. And then offensively, you're still able to replicate a lot of what showed where we saw a lot of success last season, which is the five-out spacing. And then you've still got Christian Wood, who's going to bring back some of that vertical spacing element that Clint Capella gave you by having that lob threat headed towards the rim. So we're going to see a lot of interesting dynamic offense out of this Rockets team moving forward. And then the last thing, the one that I think a lot of people resonated with, at one point the Bulls went on a little bit of a run and got within the Rockets somewhere in the second quarter. I think the score was like 39-30. After a Bulls three-pointer, and they cut the lead from double digits, and Steven Silas immediately called a timeout, and it damn near brought a tear to my eye. that before Rockets Twitter started collectively, crying for a timeout from Mike D'Antoni, the new Rockets head coach decided, you know what? They just cut our double-digit lead. I'm going to call a timeout. I'm going to regroup the troops. And guess what? The very next possession was an Eric Gordon three-pointer to get back into the double-digit lead territory, and I don't think they looked back after that. So that's a welcome sight. Really excited to see what this offense continues to mold and look like in the coming games once Christian Wood becomes available. Again, James Harden, P.J. Tucker, and Sterling Brown are not even with the team. And I apologize, neither is Christian Wood. Wood being out with that sore elbow. So nothing COVID-related for Christian Wood. Harden still undergoing COVID-19 protocols. P.J. Tucker, who is also undergoing COVID-19 protocols, who has been in the practices but not practicing with the team. And then Sterling Brown, same thing, COVID-19 protocols, not with the team. So three guys who are starters, not with the team, and then one guy who is presumably going to be a part of the rotation, at least in Sterling Brown, and this team still managed to go out and have a really impressive 125-104 win against the Chicago Bulls. So a lot of great stuff to take away from this game. Again, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself because it is just preseason, and look, it's just the Bulls. It's not like they played against the Lakers or something. But a lot of positives that can be taken away from this game. And if you were doubting your Rockets hype levels, if you were, you know, on the fence about whether or not to get hyped up for the season, you absolutely should be getting hyped up, because as long as James Harden walks through those doors and gives some semblance of commitment to this team, all this team has to do is prove that they're capable of winning a championship. You know, all this team has to do is prove that they're capable of being the complementary pieces to a James Harden-led squad that can actually conceivably win a chip coming out of the Western Conference. And yeah, it's a preseason game, but we've been talking about the on-paper fit for a while now, and they finally went out there and they kind of confirmed a lot of what we thought that this team was going to look like once they actually hit the hardwood. And it'll be great to see what they're able to do once they actually get James Harden on the floor with them, and it'll be great to see if they can carry over some of this energy and momentum into the regular season once we actually get there. But for today's episode, I think that's where we're going to sign things off. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.